what is the actual news part of this escrow thing? Because it's just kind of been floated out there in stories on the internet, on social media. Right. Has anything actually been physically presented to the players?
Yeah, I mean, that's obviously part of what the owners would like to do as far as recouping some of the savings that we predict that we'll lose based on COVID and the economic impact that it's had, obviously on the world, but in football in particular. And so obviously guys are not going to be happy or are not happy about, reducing their salaries by 35%. It's a method of trying to do it, but there's a ton of other ways to help the owners, obviously, over the period of the rest of the deal to be able to recoup, whether the salary cap maybe doesn't grow as quickly, you know, because traditionally it's kind of jumped $10 million a year. So maybe as the economy rebounds and NFL becomes dominant again, which it should, instead of having those 10 million jumps, you maybe have 3 or 4 million jumps. Because it's hard to ask a guy to obviously risk his body. Just football is inherently dangerous. And now you introduce COVID, that's going to impact him, but also his family and maybe some other people that are living with him, to now take a reducing salary. And so that's why guys are, you know, obviously frustrated with it and won't necessarily agree to that, because there are some other options that are equally as, I think, impactful as far as making it fair.
How definitive can you be? Like, can you say explicitly today that the players will not accept an escrow?
I mean, it's a negotiation. It's going to go back and forth. I know our initial, we're not going to do it. I couldn't tell you, I guarantee you 100%, because, I'm just one man. And so obviously our players will be heard, but our initial stance is that we're not going to do it.
Do you think that you need a united front on this? Because players, hey, listen, we live in the age of social media where anybody has a thought, they can voice it publicly
right.
At any time. And a lot of your players have incredible followings naturally on social media. Do you think it's important to keep that in-house, or is it okay for some guys to feel differently about other things or voice their opinions publicly? How do you feel about it?
Yeah, I mean, I think generally you want to have solidarity, and you're always going to have guys that have different opinions. And it's, you tell them where we're at, where we are collectively, and you hope that they kind of fall in line, because you're better together. And if you're going to have those type of discussions where there is disagreement, you have them in-house, much like a team does. And then wherever we land collectively, as far as this is the way we're going to move, you hope that everybody moves that way. And now that's a perfect world, and we all know that that's not going to always happen. But when you talk about, you know, reducing somebody's salary 35% and the additional risk that would be taken on, I don't think anybody's going to be outside of, hey, we don't want that at all.
It's so interesting in this social media era, Lorenzo, because it's not just Twitter, but guys are streaming on Twitch, and guys have so many different ways that they're communicating with fans. I'm curious how you guys advise players to discuss these topics publicly, whether it's just stay away from them entirely, or if you think that they do have some leeway to present their perspectives and bring, you know, fans into what it's like in their lives right now.
Yeah, I think one of the things that, I would commend J.C. Thrill, who's our new president. He's really done a great job of holding conference calls and allowing all guys to get on and share their opinion, but also educating them and making sure they have the bullet points and can really see what our potential proposals, the things, the questions that we have, and so they're educating themselves. And so we encourage any guy that feels confident enough to really talk about the issues from an educated perspective, you know, go out there and talk about it. I think sometimes you see guys just kind of react and not really know all the information. That's when we kind of get into trouble a little bit. But I'm never going to tell a guy not to speak on it, because everybody has a voice, has a good perspective. And, hey, it's 2,000 of us, and everything affects us a little bit differently. And to be able to share that in an educated way, I don't think it ever hurts anybody.
Talking to Lorenzo Alexander, former Bills linebacker, current NFLPA vice president. These sports are totally different from obvious perspectives, but also from, you know, the size and money-making ability. The NFL and Major League Baseball are not similar, and the TV deals are not similar. But we saw Major League Baseball just get dragged through the mud from a PR perspective. It really took a serious hit. And even the fact that they're returning in a bizarro 60-game schedule, there's a lot of people that were maybe not turned off for life from the sport, but it just, like, the idea of talking about money during this time is not great. Is there a fear about that kind of perception when we're talking about these issues between players and owners, and still millions of dollars when so many people are still hurting for money?
Yeah, I mean, it's part of it. I mean, it's nothing you can get around. It's kind of part of returning to play and what it looks like. And I think we talk about it knowing that the world is hurting. There are a lot of people that are in a financial struggle right now. But I think we also have to get those things cleared up, because football does provide essential business essential for those type of companies, you know, the small business owner. The person that's working security at the games, and you know, or the EMRs, all those things that surround football, and we have to be able to iron these things out. And obviously, in our day and age, it's done in a public forum because of what you said, because of social media, because of the news. And so this is one of the things that you can't really dance around, but you have to iron out so that you can have clarity and get back, and so that you can limit some of the negative impact that COVID has caused for a lot of families around this country, that, you know, football is actually going to help provide a way to be back to work, have your business open. Because, you know, I think about Buffalo and all the restaurants and bars that's around the stadium and what football season provides for them. And obviously it's going to look different, but if we're not able to iron out the economics of it, then you might miss a whole season, and nobody wants that.
Along those lines, can you give us any insight into the discussions that are ongoing right now about health and safety protocols? Because like you said, obviously the economics are incredibly important, but then there's also the other bucket, which is keeping everybody safe and trying to play this game in a way that respects public health and allows football to be played during a pandemic.
Yeah, and I mean, that's the primary aspect of everything that's going on right now. Before you even get to the economics, got to make sure that we can turn to play the safest way as possible. And obviously it's going to be very hard, because there's no perfect solutions for COVID, because it's, you know, invisible. It moves very aggressively. And so right now, the best we can do is follow the science. And I guess one of the biggest issues that you've kind of seen in this process is seeing that, you know, two preseason games versus zero preseason games. And, you know, we have a jointly appointed committee from the NFL and NFLPA to kind of help us follow the science, and we are trying to fall in line as far as their guidance and their best practices that they've kind of put out after kind of evaluating the virus, talking to CDC, you know, talking amongst each other as professionals, and then giving some stuff out. And so as a PA, that's the kind of guidance we're going to try to follow as far as going more down to zero games, because if you have two games, you have half the league traveling, and that's going to expose you more to, obviously, the COVID. And then obviously testing. We need to be able to do that on a daily basis so that guys are in the know of their status, not only for their team and coaches and the organization, but also for their family and kids that are at home as well.
So those negotiations about how many preseason games are ongoing right now?
Yeah, all that. I mean, all this is fluid. All of this kind of happens simultaneously to make sure that we can kind of, you know, come to an agreement as soon as possible.
Yeah, because time's kind of running out. Training camps open at the end of this month. Like, what is your level of certainty that that's going to happen? The training camps are going to open on time. I think the date is July 28th that all 32 training camps are supposed to open.
Yeah, I'm not 100% sure if it's going to happen on time. But dealing with negotiations in the past, when I look back at the 2011 CBA, when I look at the CBA we just done, when I look at the MLB, it always seems to be the 11th hour, just because you do have two opposing sides that sees different things, perspective, and we normally have the same goal as far as getting back to football, trying to do it in the safest manner, but often the method as far as how we accomplish that is much different. And so there's always push and pull, and so it's going to be – I got off the phone with a guy this morning. I said, just be patient. We're working on it. We're going to try to do it in a timely manner, but – it may get postponed, but if that means that we're coming back the safest way, then so be it.
Do you expect I don't know how much you can actually divulge, but every sport that we've seen return during this pandemic has some sort of opt-out clause where if a player, for whatever circumstances, doesn't feel safe returning to play, that they can opt out, and sometimes it's without pay, depending on the health situation.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's with pay. Like, do you expect some sort of language like that to exist?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, of course. So those, we're thinking about every single aspect of COVID and what guys think about it. A lot of the questions that have come up on the calls and how can we protect our men the best, you know? And so what does it mean for you as a player yourself to have an underlying condition? What does it mean for maybe one of your kids or your parents? You know, what are the days and times you need to make these decisions by? What does that mean from a contract perspective? Do you get put on pause? You know, what is the team's rights? And so those are all the things. And then what if you just don't feel safe, period, you know, as a player that doesn't have any underlying conditions? You just don't want to put yourself at risk just because of how you feel, how COVID may impact you. And so there's a lot of different kind of, subsets that you can kind of break this thing down, and you really have to get granular because you just want to make sure you cross all your T's and dot your I's as you go through this and making sure that you're protected it in every single aspect of it. And so that's kind of what we've been doing. Had a huge call yesterday kind of talking through all that type of stuff, and those are things that we'll send over to the league.